All right. What are you sowing? We're going to be down, if you will, notice verse 34. We'll jump down there. John 4, Jesus saith unto them, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And notice, to finish his work. Jesus always finishes what he starts, doesn't he? Thank God for that. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Procrastination. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. They're ready to go. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice, notice, together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. A wonderful picture given to us tonight about sowing, reaping. Again, the context here given, Jesus speaking to his apostles, and those that were close to him. But he makes mention of this again. You know, sometimes we sow and we'll enter into somebody else's labor, don't we? We don't always get to see the fruit, maybe, of our labor. As I said last week, there's going to be things in heaven. I know it was on Wednesday night. We were looking at 1 Thessalonians. Paul says, listen, you're our crown and you're our joy. You're our rejoicing at the presence of Jesus Christ. And there's some people that we're going to have in heaven and run into that we're not even going to know. They're going to say, "Did you remember me? No, I don't know you. Well, you gave, and or you supported, or you left that gospel track, or you prayed for my mommy, and she ended up changing her mind on her abortion, and I was born and got saved." Amen. You know, all that kind of stuff. And we're going to have all kinds of those stories for all of eternity to rejoice in. Now, we think about here, Jesus emphasizes now the sowing in our lives. We're going to look at this, Lord willing, and see what God has for us over the next couple of weeks here. And so sowing, what are you sowing? The time is fast approaching that we will reap ultimately what we've sown, right? We're going to reap. Paul makes it very clear to the churches there in Galatia. What's he say? Ye shall reap, right? If ye faint not. There it is. There's a prerequisite to it. Don't faint. Don't quit. So many quit too early and they don't get to reap. Oh, my friends, today we know that. Now, as we look at this here tonight, I promised I won't be too long, okay? But we see here that we are looking at the Lord preparing our soil, first of all, and how and what we are supposed to do. Now, think about this. He says again in Matthew 6 and verse 26, he says, consider the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. I believe it's in Luke he talks about, and he doesn't say fowls, he says the ravens. Consider the ravens. Now, we don't have ravens around here. We have what's basically the crows, okay? They're a part of the raven family. And so, as Jesus one day was looking out, there were these bunch of crows, I'm assuming. He says, consider them, and he says, watch them. And they're watching them, and yeah, You have a bunch of crows at your house? Anybody else? Yeah. We have this giant, I think it's an elm tree. I'm not sure what kind it is. In our front yard, it's big. It's probably a 30, 35 foot tree. And every morning there's these crows. They all come and just sit in the tree, you know. And they make the weirdest noises. Have you heard these things? And one day I was sitting there one morning and one came up and he sat and another guy came next to him and they looked at each other and they looked around and the one started barking like a dog. Have you heard? I don't know what it was. He's going, quack, 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 roar, roar, roar. And I'm going, Satan, get away from me. No, but they make the weirdest noises, don't they? Kids, have you heard these things? These birds, they just squawk, right? But Jesus said, look, you see the bird, you see those ravens, you see them crows there. Look what they're doing. Do they go and prepare? Do they go and get a little seed and they go drop it and bury it and they go away and get a little water in their beak and they come and water the seed and then wait for it to grow? No, what's he saying? Look at them. I provide for them. They don't sow, neither do they reap. They find roadkill on the road, don't they? I've hit probably 2 snakes just recently. Anybody else ran over? I know it. I didn't even see them till I felt the boom. And then I said, praise the Lord for that. No, I'm just kidding, Miss Teresa. Okay, she loves snakes. But you think about it, he says, anyways, let me get here serious. Talking about the sowing. We sow, listen. And he says, consider those. I will help you if you will let me. Now look at this, first of all, the partnership in sowing. Notice first, the partnership comes when we trust Him and not our own understanding. Now again, notice what he says. Verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. What is that? That's our own understanding. Well, Lord, I would sow, but, you know, give me some time here. I will sow, I will share the gospel, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I'll do it tomorrow. Isn't that right? That's what I often do. I'll do it next week. You know, God is in no hurry yet. What? His business requires haste. He desires for us to get things done according to His timing. He lays something on your heart. He's not saying, now think about it for 2 or 3 weeks. What's He saying? Go ahead and get it done. I've already provided for you. We're going to look at this a little bit Wednesday too. But God has provided to us every single tool necessary to accomplish His commands. God never commands anything. Now follow me here. God never commands anything in the Bible that He is dangling a carrot in front of us saying, I'm commanding you to do this, but Tim, you have no capability of getting it done. No. Anything He commands us to do, He gives us the capability of doing it. Isn't that wonderful? The Savior is so sweet to us and so gracious. And when we look at it and go, oh, I never could accomplish that. No. What are we doing? We're deceiving our own selves, the Bible says. He's given us everything, notice, to finish His work. He sent me to finish, do the will and to finish the work. God's will for you is not to go half-hearted. God's will for each one of us is to finish. Now, notice the own understanding. There's yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. He says, no, listen, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Jesus Christ, when He comes on the scene in the New Testament, He sets the bar much higher, doesn't He? Remember what He says in the great Sermon on the Mount? He says, I know the law says, what, not to commit adultery, but then, what's He say? I say unto you. And the people, it says at the end of that sermon, they were astonished. Why? Because He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes, which the scribes said what? Well, the law says, the law says, the law says. Jesus says, I say unto you. Well, who are you? I'm Jesus of Nazareth. I'm the Messiah. Notice this, the authority is set. You and I can trust the Lord. Lord, I don't know if I can sow right now. I'm not sure. No. Listen, you're leading unto your own understanding. Yeah, there are yet 4 months. The procrastination must be put aside, and the trust must be put in its place. Lord is saying, listen, don't try and rationalize this. Trust me, not your own way. For me, I try to rationalize everything. Don't you? I don't know if you do. Lord says something or commands me or speaks to me in some way through the Word of God. And I said, well, let me rationalize it here. Let me think about it. Our own understanding of the notice, first of all, the right time to sow. The right time to sow. If it were up to you and up to me, we would never feel it's the right time. I know that's for me. I would never feel it would be the right time. It probably would be the right time in the fall season. Fall season comes and the Holy Spirit says, it's time. Well, give me a little more time. I'm talking about sowing tonight. What are you sowing? Now, in this particular portion, we're talking about the reaping of souls, being an evangelist, evangelizing people, going out, sharing the gospel seed with those around us. But there's so much more we're going to look at later on about sowing. Again, we will see the harvest one day of what we've sown. We will reap one day what we've sown. If you've invested time into this church and you've invested time into your Bible, you've invested time into your prayer time, there is results from that, isn't there? There are rewards, the Bible says clearly in Hebrews 11. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Again, He is not playing a game with us. He's not hanging the proverbial carrot in front of us. Oh, you almost got it. You're doing good. Oh, nope, you fell again. No. The goal is, notice what He said, to finish the work. Amen. Now notice this, the own timing. The disciples, they didn't see the opportunity before them. The Lord showed them. The Lord revealed that to them. How do we get the heart of God and how do we see God? What's the Bible say? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But how do we get God's vision? We've got to spend time in His book. How do we get God's direction? Spending time in His book. How do we find out what He wants us to do? You know that. Spending time with the One who's giving us directions. I want to know what you want me to do. Now, notice they were preoccupied with the physical need, as they spoke of the hunger instead of seeing the spiritual need. The hunger, the physical, coming back to that. Are you sowing where you should be sowing. Okay, let me move on to the next one. Our own understanding, expecting the harvest. We often just expect the harvest to be there every year, but we must sow if there is to be a harvest. Now, we understand that. Some people just expect it. Well, yeah, well, just expect people to show up to church. Well, okay, we got to do something about that. Well, I just expect my marriage will stay together. Well, you better work at that. You better do something about it. I bet just expect, so hopefully money will show up on Monday morning in my bank account. Well, no, probably not. You got to do something about it. We've got to do something about it. Notice that some people just expect it. Now, what happened? This is from leaning unto our own understanding. This is from coming back to saying, well, I'll just do it my way. Somebody will do it. Someone else will take care of it. This often will be our thought process. God will take care of it. The harvest will come. Jesus says, no, I want to employ you. Lift up your eyes, he says, and look on the fields. Notice the action on our part. Lift up your eyes. Again, what are you looking at? Where are your eyes been? Some people can't discern the will of God, the way of God, the word of God. Why? Their eyes and ears and their senses are somewhere else. We're not listening. We're not waiting. We're not trusting. We're not looking forward. Lord, I want you to speak and show me what to do and how to do it. Now again, lift up your eyes. Well, Lord, you do that for me. No. Right? You do that for me, Lord. No. You have a responsibility in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given all of us the free will. We have a relationship, and in a relationship, it must be two-sided. One, and we've seen this 1,000 times over, and I'm dealing with some of this and helping other people and stuff like that as I get a little bit more seasoned in ministry. But they'll say, okay, Brother Tim, well something's not happening here in our marriage. It's not going too well. Well, what's that? Are you putting in? And are you putting in? Well, no, he's not. I'm doing everything. You know, what is it? One-sided. There's got to be, right? Both involved. Both have to be coming together. And again, as you both draw closer and closer to Christ, you inevitably draw closer together in that great picture we've talked about before. But we think about here, notice the relationship. You must put in some effort and put forth a little bit of effort. Notice what he says, they're white already to harvest. They're ready to go. They're there for the taking. Are we putting forth the effort? Okay, let me move on. Secondly, not only our own understanding, but we also see comes when we do our part. We have to do our part. Our part. Attentive to hear the word of God. Attentive to hear the heart of God, if you will. He says, lift up, wake up, look out, look up. Thinking through, we're focused in the right direction. We look on the fields and look at what he's doing. Oh, thinking about that. Heard the story of a farm boy one day. He was on the side of the road and the cart had fallen over. The horse was pulling the cart and the cart was tipped on its side. And another farmer was walking by and he said, son, do you need help? And he said, well, kind of. The cart flipped over and I'm trying to pick it back up. And he says, well, do you need some help? He said, sure, I could use a little help. And he said, well, I need to go back home and get some tools and stuff and maybe a couple of guys to help you lift it up. He said, oh, no, take your time, you know. And I think this is a true story. I that's what it said. And the guy came back about an hour later, finally picked it up, picked the cart up, and his father was under the cart. He was not funny, but obviously he'd passed away. And the guy's like, why didn't you tell me you needed a little more emergency here? You know, and the kid was just like, well, I didn't know anything. I don't know how the rest of the story goes. I just read that. That was kind of funny. Not funny, but kind of funny. What'd you think about? Some people just don't have urgency anymore, do they? They just don't have any urgency to get some things done or to be serious about some of these things. Now, talking about tonight, sowing. Looking at that, oh, how we invest in so many things and how we invest so much time and energy into so many things. Oh, you know the stories that go. Are we looking on the fields? Are your eyes looking up? Yes, go to work and yes, focus on what you're supposed to do. And kids, do your schooling, yes. And parents and grandparents, do your thing. But keep in your mind, in the forefront of your mind, that harvest I want to sow for the next generation. Let me say thirdly here, it comes when we truly seek to partner with the Lord. We seek. Notice, he reapeth wages. He gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I like that. There's partnership in this. It is not a selfish endeavor. We're working together. Again, we're trying to help others, just like the family here with us this morning. We're trying to help them get to where they're going, to help them in their ministry, partnering together. But we ultimately have the partnership, you know that, with the Lord. The partnership. Oh, we see it. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse number 6, and he says, Paul, he says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, nor he that watereth. Notice, God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. Are one. Never a competition. Never. You invite somebody to church, they come, they get saved, they may get plugged in here or there. We're one in unity. We're all working together. Why? To reap the field and bring it together for that great day. God blesses the results. God blesses the efforts. The partnership of man, the partnership of God, we know that. It's all there. We come forward and say, I'm laborers together with God. That's what he says there in 1 Corinthians 3 later, there in verse 9. We're laborers together. I'm always with you, Jesus said. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He says verse 37 again. Herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. You know, some of this reaping is difficult work. Some sow, wait, water, and do reap and do all of it. Others, maybe they just do a small part. Someone else has already built a work. Somebody else has been praying for that person for decades, and you may enter in and see him saved. Right? Somebody else has built with blood, sweat, and tears a church and a family and all these things. And what? Lord willing, somebody else may enter in and take this work over one day and move it into the next generation. We think about today, the partnership together. Are you sowing tonight? Are you sowing? Are you putting forth some seed? Are you laying up for yourself in store some seed for the future and for that eternal day that's coming very soon? Are you? I know most of you are. But taking time this week, and I encourage you to sit down alone with God and get alone with Him and say, God, help me to focus on what I need to focus on. I want to sow where I should be. I want to be putting forth the effort. I don't want to miss the harvest field. I don't want to miss what you're doing. I know there's a harvest coming. By the way, we can't avoid the harvest that's coming. One day you will die. One day I will die. One day, Lord willing, I'm praying God, the Lord returns very soon. But we'll stand before Christ, and that harvest day will come. And it will be over. The harvest has ended. The great prophet of the Old Testament says the harvest is ended, and we are not saved. We are not saved. The sad, sad state of it, that people in hell will say that very thing. The harvest is over. There's no more chances. There's no more chances to reap. And we think about that, that we understand that there's a great opportunity set before us to go into a field, look up, make the effort, partner together, and see the great reaping that's done. That they may, notice, rejoice together. Rejoice together. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world, and I will help you. I will guide you. I will be with you in this effort, sowing. We're not alone in the harvest. We're here with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's partnering together with us. We have fellow laborers to help us along our way. That's why I encourage you to be with us in our services. We know that some are watering, some are planting, some are reaping. We're working together as we think about this. I want to encourage you with that. Pray this week, if you will, and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Am I sowing in the right places? Am I sowing where I should be sowing? Am I wasting the years that I have? May not be many years for us. Am I using these years that I have for your glory? Am I sowing in the right areas? Am I putting forth the effort where I should be putting forth the effort? Lord, reveal to me the wasted areas. Oh, that's so convicting. The wasted areas in my life where it's not doing any good. Jesus said the sower went out to sow and he threw his seed out. Some fell where? Some fell on the way where people walk. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell, what, among the thorns that choked it out, but he said, there's some that fell on good ground. Don't forget that. There's some. You're not going to be able to see everyone reached with the gospel. That's sad to say, but it's true. But some fell on good ground. And the more we sow, sometimes we see, man, Lord, I just don't see results. I just don't see it. I just don't see that. I prayed for my kids and I prayed that we'd get through this and I pray we can, whatever. No, you keep on sowing. Notice God will put the seed where He wants it. We know that, but help us to do our part. And through all of this, we can see great results for His honor and for His glory. Amen. And so what are you sowing? Amen. We'll look more at this a little bit next week and getting into more about detail of what we're supposed to sow. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray. I want to let you folks get going tonight. I know you've got a long week ahead of you. And praise God. Thank you again for being here this day. And I know the Lord will bless it because of you. If you have anything you need, please let us know. Any prayer requests, anything we can do for you, we'd appreciate that. All right. Let's close in prayer tonight. We'll head out. Lord, thank you again for this time. I know that the emphasis here of sowing has been preached many times over. I know that God, as we think about it, and I know, again, I say this often, but these sweet people here tonight, I know they keep this on the forefront of their mind constantly, of Lord, sowing in the right areas. We want to do that. We want to reach those around us, but more importantly than just souls and other things, help us to be right with you and be on point with that, Lord, and forgive us of where we fail you. Forgive me, Lord, often talking the talk, but Lord, not walking the walk like I should. And like I know I can speak for most here, Lord, I pray you'd help us, Father. I thank you for those that have been so faithful. I pray again for those that couldn't be here this evening. And I pray you'd watch over them. I thank you that we're not somewhere tonight in trouble or having heartache or pain somewhere or in a bad situation. How grateful we are. As we think about, I heard on the news just as I was coming to church, another church shooting tonight. Someone was killed and others were shot. We just think about this wicked world. But we thank you for the safety you put upon our church tonight and on this whole day. And we love and thank you. Bless each one as we go our separate way this week. Protect us, guide us, use us as your tools for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.